this is Vince. Listen. Ah, fuck. Everybody's looking at me.
JFRocks.com. Thanks for your great theme song. By the way, those that do play guitar and have heard this riff a couple of times and you want to know how to play it, I found out that Jeff actually shows you how to play our theme song. So online with tabs, backing music, so you can just jam to it with the drums and everything else. Mm-hmm. And have fun with that, people.
What site would that be?
It would be JFRocks.com, because Jeff Fiorentino.
Right.
I can speak tonight, I swear. Dude, I was doing like 80 on the 10. It was really fun.
On your bike, that just scares the shit out of me, man.
Yeah, it's good.
Riding a bike on the freeway of Los Angeles just seems to me like just suicide.
I had this great vision of downtown LA. Mm-hmm. It was crystal clear and the moon was behind us and set. Did you see the huge moon over the city earlier tonight?
No, I was in my car.
We're in your car.
No, I didn't see the moon.
Which, if you're listening in your car, congratulations for downloading our app or listening on Stitcher. We've got tons of ways to enjoy the call sheet. Thanks for listening either live or downloaded. We've had 90,000 downloads in August so far. August totals were absolutely fantastic. Thank you, everybody, for taking part. In the whole Skid Row Studios network, we have tons of shows.
We had a great show. We had a great month in August.
We had a great month. It was a great month for talk radio.
We had the commentary for the Adventures in Babysitting. Mm.
We had a synchromistic film with Andres Jones. Was also in Nightmare on Elm Street with Rodney Eastman.
Right. You had on last week, right?
By the way, thanks for everyone who played along to the Adventures in Babysitting Blu-ray. It was all skipping.
It was amazing. It was a good time.
We were trying to catch up. We had no idea what part you were watching, but thanks for listening to that and taking part.
If you haven't heard any of them, please go download them, iTunes and whatnot. It's awesome.
On my way here, this guy was carrying these two boxes. I was like, what? What's that? Pumpkin pie. I'm like, cool. He's getting into a silver Porsche. And he's like talking to me about my motorcycle and stuff. I was parked like 3 inches behind him, sharing a space. You know, I did that to you tonight.
Yeah,
right?
You did.
Right up your ass. And he goes, all right, have a good night. And he goes, keep the shiny side up.
Yeah. Because you never see a guy in a Porsche with a bumper sticker that says shit happens. Like, that just doesn't happen, you know?
No. How do you think he votes?
the guy with the Porsche.
Is he libertarian?
Goes, man, life just kicks you in the balls, doesn't it?
He probably owns a fucking laundromat somewhere. Dude, parking lots and laundromats. People, if you have
cash machine, man.
Money to come downtown LA and buy a parking lot. No structure
it's a
fees,
license
no,
to print
no
money.
Fire insurance, nothing. Oh, what are you gonna insure this like $20 shack you got the guy sitting in all night? And I love the supply and demand. It's like they made a law in LA. If there's a riot situation or an incredible demand for one product or service, you can't charge more than 3 times the normal retail when you're gouging people in this time of emergency. Well, what happens when parking goes from $5 to fucking $18? That sounds like gouging
well,
to me.
I watched the guy in the parking lot right here outside the studio. You know, it's $5 when you pull in. I just watched him. 5 to 10. I'm wondering if like around 11 o'clock it goes 10 to 15 or 20, you know?
I talked to that guy. He's cool, man. Yeah. He works 7 days a week.
Doesn't surprise me.
The normal parking hours, and then if it's something crazy or a huge event, mm-hmm. his boss calls and is like, hey, I need you to stay like till 3. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. He's a good guy. good guy. He lets me get away with murder because, you know, spend some time with him. Any of the RNC? Did you watch it? Did you read about it later? Did you?
I'm not a big fan of infomercials. I'm not a big fan of someone trying to sell me horse shit and call it, you know, gold.
The empty chair meme, I thought I was early.
Right.
I was already on late night TV.
Mm-hmm.
But I, early in the morning, the next day, I had put a picture of my empty chair. And I said, I'd rather have this thing than Romney as president. But I love our president. I like the one with the president in the chair.
Yeah.
Sitting his little head over the back and says, the seat's taken.
The president. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's funny that in the cabinet room, they have assigned seating. Like, he's, you know, arguably some of the most powerful men in the free world. You have to put their names on their chairs because otherwise they're going to bicker like grade school kids.
We got to put agriculture next to transportation and defense. Trust me.
Otherwise, the Secretary of State will get pissy. Yeah. Like, no, I want to sit next to the president. No, I want to sit next to the president. Just sit down and do your fucking jobs. This is not what we, the taxpayer, pay you for.
The proof that the Bin Laden raid, the people that don't believe the moon landing happened.
Right.
They're like,
right.
There's a picture, the famous picture of everyone, Secretary of State, our president, watching the live, the Bin Laden raid. And all of the laptops were open with a total black screen.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like just minutes into the thing. And they're like, it's so staged, they don't even have their Macs on. I've seen ones
they're watching it on YouTube is what it is. One of the SEAL Team 6 had out their iPhone.
I've seen that picture with like Zooey Deschanel sitting in the picture watching. Oh, the one of the SEALs that wrote a book. There's a few. There's like, they were all over the director of O Dark 30.
Mm-hmm.
And Catherine Bigelow. And how'd you get access? Who'd you talk to? What the fuck? How'd you know what you know?
Right.
She's like, did you read Tom Clancy? And the Kremlin and the White House asked Tom Clancy, how the fuck do you know about the Whisper Drive and all these capabilities of all the ships? He goes, Library of Congress. It's public record.
Right.
Looked at their schematics and fucking blueprints and shit. So with this, she's like, well, I can't talk about that. And she doesn't really talk about it because it was like both. There was both official help.
Mm-hmm.
And there was also off the record help.
Of course.
She's like, I'm making a dramatic picture. And sometimes like the facts that they give you do tell a story. Mm-hmm. You need a song. You need a guy. Mm-hmm. Shoo. I love Mike the dog. I can't tell what's like real or not with the convention, with the, you know, ads. I don't really see a lot of political ads. It foisted me. Hulu foisted a Romney ad on me one night. Like,
dude. Well, on Hulu, to be fair, with Hulu, you can click dislike. No, yes. I don't like that ad.
This is not relevant to me. Do you like this experience? No. At one point, I clicked one of those. I was like, no. And the ad just stopped. And it put another ad on. I was like, cool.
Yeah, you click it early enough in the ad, and it'll just put up a new one. If you click it late enough in the ad, it'll just skip it altogether.
Ooh, good
advice.
So
you've got to know when to click the do not like. And it's got to be do not like, because if you click like, if you give it a thumbs up, it'll play the whole fucking thing and it might give you another one.
1-800-893-9562. If you watch Hulu sit back on the desktop app, either PC or Mac, or if you watch Hulu by going to the webpage through Safari, because if you go online with a Microsoft, like a PC or something like that,
you're just fucked.
Just don't even
don't
open
even bother.
Your router. It's like,
it's going to crash the whole system.
Yeah, hey, just logged in and you're screwed. My God, what the hell happened? I had done that. I had taken a drive over, I'd formatted and everything. And every time I got online, it was like, this thing went fucking berserk.
Yeah.
And they said, no, they can hack your hardware. They could like get in and like solder pictures, little happy faces and shit on your hardware. Great. That's wonderful. Everything was totally ruined. The empty chair. Clint Eastwood, I have great respect for Clint Eastwood as a filmmaker.
Yeah, but the guy needs a lozenge. Let's be really honest. Let's be honest.
Oh. No. You're old. Your voice. How old is he?
He's, 816 years old.
Yeah. Eight, my grandma would say. She'd use the first digit of her. She's like, oh, I'm 7. Happy birthday. She's like 7 for 10 years. That was cool. Clint, no, don't say, because that's not fair. That's not fair to say.
He's 82 years old.
Their presentation for their candidates were a bunch of old white men that are kind of out of touch, but have great hearts, right? They want all of our families to be just like theirs. You know, happy and healthy. And
the GOP wants all of our families to be just like theirs.
Yeah, and drive the same cars.
God, no.
Hate the same people.
No, they don't want us to be just like them, because then there's a finite amount of money in the world. And if everyone is the same, they all have the same amount of money. They don't want that. They want to keep the middle class where they are, maybe even knock them down one or two pegs. You know, you got to keep the worker class going so that the 1%, so that the upper class can continue to have their yachts and their...
There isn't a finite amount of money, because they're printing it 24/7.
They don't even print money anymore.
The Chinese are printing super dollars that look pretty good.
No, like what you do, the chairman of the Federal Reserve goes into a little room and types a number into a computer. And that's how they make more money. It's not actually
what,
making
actual
money anymore.
Running around is like 4% of what is in debt
of
and all
the
this
actual,
other stuff.
Yeah.
And we're passing around for like six packs and gas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's not even. And this is the thing that amazes me. Like these when you have to get approval for, like, if you're a FBI agent, or if you're, you know, U.S. Treasury, and you're, you know, you're doing a sting on counterfeiters, if you're in the Secret Service, you have to have a real bank account to do that. And it's like, no, you guys control the money. Just make a fake one. It looks all the same, ones and zeros. You know, just you're the guys who run
well,
the money.
Isn't that like off the books money and black ops? And there's like, no, this whole part of the budget is just kind of, no, R&D. Yeah, we were playing with ostriches out in like northeastern Africa. We sunk like $2.4 million. They got dozens of stories like that. The $500 wrench, the lug nuts.
Right. There's a term for it, and I can't remember off the top of my head, but it's, if a bill goes into Congress, they can vote on the amount, but they don't get to see what it's for. They vote on whether or not, and this is for special programs, quote unquote special programs. And I think it's called a blind option. I could be completely wrong about that, but there is a tool within our system of government where if the DOD or, you know, Langley or whoever wants to get some money for a special program, it gets submitted to Congress and the entire House votes on it blind. You know, these people want $1.6 billion. What do they want it for? Can't tell you, but they want it. You want to give it to them or no? What, are you going to say no to the CIA? What, are you going to say no to, you know, the DOD? Like, okay.
I'm Keith Coogan. This is Gabriel Romero. You're listening to The Call Sheet. We go from Hollywood.
That's right. To
politics. Because it's all.
Oh, yeah. Let's clarify. Neither one of us have really any expertise. Who do they hire to do the camera work at the RNC?
Do they hire like a bunch of like these guys that went to all these schools? No, there's guys that are like tradesmen. They've been at every live event for decades.
Bet your ass not a single one of them was in the union.
Are you serious?
It's the RNC, man.
What they call it, floor herd.
You know.
Oh, the hurricane. I do want to mention, and because so much TV and coverage was dedicated to the Republican National Convention and Paul Ryan speaking, mm-hmm. and Eastwood in the empty chair, and Mitt Romney speaking, his empty suit and his empty smile, that there was not a lot of talk about the hurricane, the people that suffered from a 12-foot surge, mm-hmm. that crested a 9-foot retaining wall and or berm or whatever the fuck they want to call these things that don't work. It's the city's built underwater. I mean, anyway, it did. The people's houses were 12 feet underwater. A Yahoo News.
I honestly don't understand why anyone lives on the Gulf Coast anymore. I mean, you're just going to get screwed. You know, I mean, yeah, it's beautiful and everything.
They made fun of the sea levels rising. They were like, oh, Obama's like worried about the ocean rising.
And by the way, I come from the South. I come from Georgia. Okay. Hurricane. I lived in Florida for 7 years. you know when one's coming. You know when they're coming. You can see them from miles away. There's forecasts on the news. Get out. Run. You know, grab everything that's important to you. Hop on a bus, get in a car, train, whatever it takes. Get out of Dodge.
Grab your pets, grab your loved ones, your neighbors, check on the one that you see every 3 days because she can't make it down the stairs from the third floor. You're like, Abigail, are you cool? Are you picking you up?
Third floor, they're safe. Water level's not going two stories. Right. Okay. You know, I mean, it's not like here in California where, you know, an earthquake happens and son of a bitch, the ground is moving, like just out of nowhere. In the South, when a hurricane is coming, it's on the news for 3 or 4 days before it gets there. I remember when Hurricane Katrina hit, a week before it actually made landfall, I was sitting in a bar. I was sitting in Molly McPherson's Scottish Pub, the only Scottish pub in downtown Savannah.
Woo!
Yeah. I was sitting in a pub drinking a scotch, looking at the TV going, that's going to suck. I hope people are leaving town. Because it was huge a week before it got there. It was feeding on, you know, it was feeding on the Atlantic waters. It was feeding on the Gulf Stream. It was feeding on, you know, the wind and water that exists out there.
So if it hits lands from Atlantic to just the eastern seaboard, you're cool. But if, well, not really cool. There's been awful events too. But if it comes around and hits the warm waters and gets fed,
that's
and
where
comes and hits from the south up in any of the five Gulf states. There's five states affected by the oil spill or hurricanes. The whole Gulf of Mexico.
You're just
a meteor hit there years ago. You know, like
fucked.
It's fucking
like it's
this spot. Hey, look at a map. See this whole round area.
There has to be some kind of spiritual convergence in Louisiana because that in Nolens they have gotten fucked over and over again, and yet that city's been around for 300 years.
Of course there's spiritual convergence. It comes from one of the only cities to have three countries over it. It's one of the oldest cities in the North America. A very important port up the Mississippi. It is a place, if you've been, you feel it when you watch the music and you're drunk on hurricanes. Remember the tourist drink they'd sell you at Hard Rock Cafe along Bourbon Street or you're trawling Mardi Gras. You'd drink these huge 2-3 foot, you know, stratosphere sized hurricanes. Then they're blue. How do you pronounce it? Curacao? Blue Curacao is what makes it blue.
I think it's Curacao.
And just ridiculous amounts of rum.
Well, we used to have hurricane parties.
Rum is happy drink. Hurricane parties?
Hurricane parties back in Florida. In Florida, I lived in Central Florida for about 7 years and you get you and a bunch of your buddies, you board up the windows, you board up the door, and you have as much beer and as much liquor as you can scrounge together, maybe a couple of jugs of water, you know? And then you gotta play like board games and stuff because you gotta count on the power going out, you know. And back then you didn't even want to plug in the TV because lightning could strike and it would come through the television at you. You know, and whether or not that's true, that is what my parents instilled in me. It's like,
what is that, poltergeist?
No, that was ghosts. Oh. This is lightning. This is
that's I grew up in Malibu, California, the poor part of Malibu. We graduated from a converted tennis change room.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little tennis change room. They took a front porch of like a two-story and put drywall around it and made like an L-shaped apartment. And we lived there. We lived in a one-bedroom near the Malibu Pier.
Mm-hmm.
So this was like Topanga Canyon and then Malibu Pier and then the Walton's money and various other shenanigans. My mom worked very hard, cleaned houses and shit while it drove me around to auditions and, and you know, public school and support. I had like Salvation Army toys and earlier before we got to LA and welfare and all that stuff and support for her to go to school. She was 20. I was like 4 when we came to LA. yeah, 4 or 5 years old. She was like 20 or 21. So 16 when I was born.
Really?
So Malibu and growing up was earthquakes and mudslides and storms that eat houses.
Yeah.
And all sorts of fun. Fires. Fires, too. We got attacked from all over. But you'd be actually take your little inner tube and galoshes and go play on the Pacific Coast Highway. It's shut down and there's 2 feet of water going by in a current and you're like riding it for dozens of houses down the highway. And the ocean would get huge and boom and crash underneath the houses with the pylons and shake them.
Yeah, that too is another thing. When I moved out here and I saw those, I was like, that's a bad idea. You're just asking to
live it on the edge.
I remember as a kid, like riding a trash can down a hill, or riding the lid of a trash can down a hill when it was real rainy and muddy. And I'm like, you're just asking to turn your house into the lid of a trash can, man. You're going to be riding your living room down to the beach.
No, the upper piano was eaten. It washed in, hit the wall, went through like the plate glass windows of the house. Right on the beach, and the wash, it hit the piano, which pushed it up, and when it backwashed, it sucked it right out. And so the whole, it was like a cave. It was like the top of Ghostbusters. Total Recall, yeah.
Loved it. I did.
It wore me out.
Yeah.
And derivative, because it owes 33% to Blade Runner, 33% to AI, and 33% to Minority Report. Cool. But I was waiting for them to go to Mars. It's like, okay. No, it's the other side. No Mars? I was very upset that there was no Mars.
Sorry. No, it's all right. It's all right. An old friend of mine is like arguing with me about where I was when Katrina hit. He's like, it hit in 2007. I'm like, no, dude, hit in 2005. Right. You know, like it's a visceral memory. And so... I'm sorry, but yeah, Total Recall.
So he has like a lost 2 years that he's going to talk about.
I guess. Which by the way, Adam, my best friend, we've known each other since like the fourth grade. If you want to call in, because I know you'd love to argue with me on air, that would be a lot of fun. That number 800-893-9562. Please call in. my best buddy, great guy. Love him to death. We argue about everything.
Where'd you guys grow up together?
Yeah, pretty much. We lived in East Cobb, which is the nice part of Cobb, in Marietta, Georgia. Met right around the third, fourth grade, and been best buddies ever since. So, great guy. Worked with him. We had production company together when he lived down here, and did a lot of writing together. Great guy.
But you just fight all the time.
Oh, no, we don't fight. We argue. Oh. It's always very congenial. You know, we have a lot of respect for each other. But to a certain extent, we both think the other is pretty full of shit, which is fine.
You call me on all my little details, which I like. and that you're okay and you can chill if I have a totally different opinion.
Yeah.
Total Recall, perfect. It was just, I could watch Kate Beckinsale actually chase them all day. Mm-hmm. That was great, but kind of unmotivated. She had earlier a chance. It didn't make sense. A lot of it didn't. What's the deal with Colin Farrell not being able to open a movie?
Here's,
the money. It didn't make the money they were expecting.
And that sucks. And I feel like that was robbed. They were robbed in that respect. Here's what I'll say, though, about Kate Beckinsale. Is she does, I think, the groundwork is laid there. Like, in the beginning, she's chasing him because that's her job. You know, she's a government agent. She's fiercely ambitious. She wants to get to the top, and you see it right away.
She's 2000 or whatever. She was like this force coming after them, and it was hysterical. I was laughing at it.
And then when she finds out who he is, it gets ratcheted to another level because he's the best. So if she can take him out. If she can eliminate that guy, boom, she's number one.
Right. When she from like becomes, predatory, I'm on top of you, I'll right. get you to, oh my God, here's my challenge. Here's my mm-hmm. big quest yeah. and moment. That's great.
Yeah. No, yeah, I loved it.
They did empower the women more in this version.
Definitely.
Than the original. Sharon Stone yeah. had zero screen time. Mm-hmm. Great cat fight.
Don't get me wrong. She looked great in the scene where she's trying to kill him and she's in the 80s futuristic aerobic lycra. With the side ponytail and the white headband.
Always. All women look great in that.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Bring that look back. Oh, man. Memories and nostalgia. Oh. And so, I heard, were you there with the story? Did you tell me the story about the kids visiting the studio when they saw the poster for Nightmare on Elm Street?
Yes, that was me. That's my story.
Okay, tell me that story. Okay,
so the guy that I was just telling you about, Adam.
Yes.
Adam and I used to go see screenings. Adam has since moved to Florida. He now teaches at a film school in Florida. We were going to see a screening at the LA Film School. And to be fair, a great many of my friends went to film school. But you know what? When you're in film school, you're a bit of a douche. Okay. And I say this with all the love and affection to my friends who are in film school, you know, when you were in film school, bit of a douche. Okay. So we get into this elevator and we're going to see this Q&A. And this was right around the time the Nightmare on Elm Street remake came out, which I never saw because I can't do scary movies.
I didn't see it either.
You know, no. I can't do it.
And film school just empowers the douchiness of people that like weird, obscure movies anyway. So
these like two or three kids get into the, I say kids, they were like 20 years old, get into the elevator and they're looking and the original poster for the original Nightmare is up on the wall. And one kid looks at it and turns to the other and says, "That's not the poster for Nightmare on Elm Street." And my buddy and I kind of look at each other and like, okay, maybe this is redeemable. Maybe they just have not seen the poster. And so my buddy goes, "Yeah, no, that's the poster for the original." And they look at us and they go, "Nightmare on Elm Street's a remake?"
How many years though? It's been 20, you know,
I don't care. Film school. You should have an understanding.
Too many movies. Go on Hulu, go hit movies, hit free. And it's just like,
yes,
you can't watch. You don't have the time to watch everything.
Yes, that's true. You don't have the time to watch everything.
I'm like, no, I haven't seen High Noon. I'm sorry.
Let me ask you. Do you know what High Noon is?
Yes.
Okay.
I know all the derivatives and I've seen 1,200 different Outland and all sorts of shit.
Yes, there's tons of movies. I see in 1 year more movies than the average human being will see in their lifetime. And I've still not seen everything I want to see. And I'm not seeing there are movies out there that are, you reference movies to me all the time. And I'm like, I haven't seen that one yet. Ooh. You know, like, but if you're a film student, then you need to be a student of film. You need to know that that's a remake. You need to know that, you know.
It's generational. I mean, people always look at me, they're like, "What is that, the original iPhone?" I'm like, yeah, it's the retro. I'm rocking it. Look, you see this like kind of nice texture.
We call it the two-tone finish.
Yeah, that's nice. This is the camera. Oh, God. It's so frosty. Mm. It's a nice soft focus. It's like shooting Sybil Shepherd every day. Like, hey. I've got like Flickr and like MySpace. I have an old Friendster. Swear to God, they're all still up. I'm not going to delete them. You just kind of abandon them. You walk away. Someday Clout. I don't know. We'll see. I got cool shit off of Clout.
You got a car, didn't you?
Yeah, I got the car and... I have a great picture up there on my Twitter, at Keith Coogan. I couldn't be like, oh yeah, it's Twitter, so why don't you just like at KC13 or something, you know, mean something to me, but short, like Twitter, like Will Wheaton, just like Will W.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you save like letters there.
Yeah.
Like, it's efficient. It's quick. That's the whole thing of Twitter. You have 140 characters.
Do they still count, like if you tag someone in a post, does it still count?
Of course, every character counts.
Man.
I had to take out Zach Galifianakis tonight on a tweet because mm-hmm. I had too many other people and I went, I looked at all the different people I had in the tweet and I went, no, Zach, you're cut.
You know what? Just change your name, Zach. Just reduce it down like Zach Gal, you know, or Zach Galifianakis.
No, he did subversive comedy and made it kind of sort of mainstream. I mean, that's kind of in now, though. I think that kind of weird oddball comedy.
Yeah. It's about time that came back. You know, like that's almost like a throwback to the days of Meatballs and the days of
Up the Creek. Was there one like another Meatballs, but it was like Up the Creek, or there was other river ones too that were
No, I mean like the days of Animal House and the days of oh God, what was the one with Bill Murray? It was like the first movie
Meatballs
Bill Murray made with
Stripes and
it was one of his first movies with oh God, and now I can't remember his name.
Google.
Let's go to IMDb.
I'm logged in as a Mormon. I could talk all sorts of shit. Hold on. The Mormons have a Mormon Music Radio Pod, and they left their Facebook page open. So, ladies and gentlemen, please. Hold on. Please. Oh, all caps. I'm going to look like a total douche. Watch. No. Listen, please. Listen to the call sheet on skidrowstudios.com. My call sheet on www.skidrowstudios.com. Keith Coogan is a god. Okay, that's good. I'll post that. Suffer. Do not leave. If you come to Skid Row Studios, you're in one of the shows, and there's 13 shows or 14 shows a show, great new shows too. You do not leave your shit open. All right, it's posted now. Nice. Thank you. Log the shit out of that.
That's nice.
I don't even remember. I was looking at
way to
I'm like,
oh,
I get to hack them. That's great. Wait, change password. All right, no, I won't do that. That's fun.
Well, that's like the story about when Hank Azaria went over to Kevin Pollak's house to you heard about this, didn't you?
I think I did.
Yeah, he went over to his house to play poker or something, and like logged into the computer or something on Twitter. And so for like the next 2 hours, Kevin is tweeting under Hank Azaria's handle, you know, trying to back one out. This is you know, it's like giving birth, like just. Completely trying to make, you know.
Todd Akin. What's his name? Akin? Senator Akin that said the legitimate rape and forcible rape and women and the shutting down. And there's tons of stuff on Funny or Die and YouTube. Everyone did that. The chair with Clint Eastwood. Memes were all over the place. Mm-hmm. And they had empty chairs talking all sorts of smack.
Yeah, it was Todd Akin.
It was Todd Akin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wonder what his definition of illegitimate rape is. Like, what is
it? Forcible, I sprung it on ya. You can't know them. You can't have known them. You can't be married to them. It can't have been not violent. And it can't have happened 2 weeks before the 2 weeks before the egg dropped.
It's.
Yeah. I'm stunned. We have Celebrity Death of the Week.
Really?
Brought to you by the call sheet. We love the Celebrity Death of the Week. A great hero, a man who was challenged on his experiences, but who stood up and just remained. He also took the least amount of attention that he really wanted. They found one picture of the man with his face recognizable while he's standing on the motherfucking moon, mm-hmm. Neil Armstrong.
Yeah.
Just a moment of silence, like standing on the moon going, I'm on the fucking moon.
Well, you know that there's a lot of people who are like, he got the line wrong. You know, when...
Yeah, oh, and the cover-up. They're like, no, we've analyzed and we hear the transmission cut. And I'm like, no. He blew it. It's cool. It's cool. We knew what he meant. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Just, like, who cares?
Be what you are. Let's just freak flag fly.
You know, it's...
Don't try to cover... No, yeah, I totally blew it. I was on the fucking moon. Yeah, I missed the first letter of the alphabet. It was one character. All right. You know, that's it. And you are all over my ass.
Who cares, dude?
And then you gotta fuck it up.
Fucking moon.
But then look at the other side. You're on. You're this accomplished. You're studied. You're physically right. The most perfect person for this mission. You do it. And you're the PR one. You're the ones on mic.
Right.
And the other guy is up first, but he sits there and films you coming down. Whatever. It's like ridiculous. So he does it and he blows his line.
Oh, who cares? You know what? Like, I'm sorry, but if you were to have been in his shoes, if you're the first one on the moon, I'm sorry, but that's got to be a head trip. And to forget your line, like the fact that he remembered the line at all, even if he paraphrased, you know what? As a writer, I'll give it to him. He pulled off the moment. That's all I care about. The words, okay, fine. He got the moment right, you know? As a writer, as a director, that's all I care about, man. Did you get the moment? Did the meaning come through? Yes. Yes, it did.
And they don't have any masters. They have this scratchy kind of, it's like, yeah, we broadcast
that I don't
live.
Buy.
There's no.
That I don't buy.
Oh, we erased
it's
them.
It's somewhere.
We're, oh, sorry.
We're oh, that was the first landing on the moon. I taped over it with the Olympics. The opening ceremony. I'm sorry, man. That's
Salem's Lot
those
was
were the only
on.
Copies.
I'm sorry.
Damn. I'm sorry. Shit. I had to work and I wanted to see the opening ceremony. So, oops.
I can't believe people. Okay, so have you seen the Mars Curiosity Rover 3D panorama?
No.
It's high def. It's a 360 mm-hmm. view. It works in whatever browser. Just go type that in. So Mars Curiosity Rover, 360 degree panorama. You can feel like you can breathe the air. It feels like you're out in the desert. You also look down and you see these chunks of rock and you realize this shit was hit by something or blew up or something because there's nothing bigger than, you know, the size of your hat
right.
in terms of chunks of rocks. And it's you when I was looking at it, I felt like we could be there. We could stand on this planet someday. I really believed it. And we did it to the moon. Fuck it. Why can't we go to Mars?
Because NASA is broke.
There's and robots and aliens there that will kill us.
It's like, no.
Because NASA's broke.
Because NASA doesn't even exist anymore.
What if China or Russia or other countries go?
Actually,
India
you
or,
know what?
Or who?
Here's,
who could go?
Here's what's more likely to happen because I was listening to a great interview with the guy who, and I can't remember his name because I'm awful at that shit.
Fitzy McLippy.
No, this is the guy who had the first private ride to space. Mm. Like he's the guy who set up the contest for a private engineered space shuttle. And the way he paid for it, it was like a $10 million prize. If you could get to space.
Oh, the X-Plane prize or the...
something like that. Yeah. And so what he did was he took out what's called a hole-in-one policy, which is an insurance policy, paid a $100,000 premium, or no, it was a $1 million premium, mm-hmm. paid it to the insurance company. And he says, if I can go to space twice in 2 weeks, you give me $10 million.
Right.
And he had something like 10 years to pull it off. And so so he takes out this policy and the insurance company, a little hesitant, but you know what? What's the likelihood a guy's going to go to space twice in 2 weeks? So he sets up this contest for, you know, private industry because Boeing wasn't going to do it. Lockheed wasn't going to do it.
SpaceX.
Yeah, it was like kids from MIT or some shit that won the contest. And so he was able, he was able from
X prize.
Yeah.
Yes, $10 million.
Yeah. From liftoff to space and back twice in 2 weeks. And so the insurance company had to pay him the $10 million and the $10 million went to, but now he's got the technology. We have the technology.
And the spaceship looks exactly like the one from $6 Million Man that Lee Majors crashed in. We can rebuild him. We have the technology. Fucking love $6 Million Man. I watched Bionic Woman because sometimes $6 Million Man was on it. I knew he was in Universal Backlot because I saw him on the bridge that was collapsing and in a little like snowy round tunnel. thing. Remember that?
Yeah.
They used to have the snowy, I don't know what they have now. I totally love the shit. Faster he goes, the slower the film is. Loved it. Loved it. Bionic eye, fucking power arm, and two legs. Fucking run like a cheetah. Loved it. I had a $6 million man doll. It was like one of the 6-inch dolls. You look through the back of his head, and it was like all fisheye. You peel off a little arm. And Oscar Goldman, I had that. And many, the faces one where you peel it off and you could put the faces of the bad guy. And I'm sorry. It was, did you have action figures, Star Wars, $6 million, G.I. Joe, anything?
I had G.I. Joe. G.I. Joe, had Transformers. I was a big Transformer kid.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah. But mostly I was a Legos kid. Yeah, no, I was a Legos addict. As a matter of fact,
Were you anal and do the plan and build each exactly model as in the book, and do you freestyle?
Here's what I did, because I got to a point where I was weird. So the first thing I would
break open the box.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Not much has changed. I break open the box and I'd see how long it took me to build the thing that's on the box. Follow the directions, build it start to finish.
Oh, that's implied.
How quickly can I do it?
Of course.
And then as soon as I was done, take the whole thing apart and then just start freestyling. Mm. Just build, you know, this looks like it could go here. I can make this out of this. I can do that, you know.
Okay. Love it. There's always a few little extra parts left over after you build it.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, an extra like twofer that's like yellow and clear. That's awesome. Loved building. I was jealous because up the street was Jake Busey. And I had the like 4x2 bricks, you know, and like the flat ones and a couple of big, you know, the green one that you could like put everything on, like the base.
Mm-hmm.
Jake, the bitch had the fucking space kits, the ones with the, no, and not the little like, oh, it's like two man. No, right. This is the one with like a rover pulls out of the fucking ship when you land it. So I spent hours up there building and playing. Yeah, because after you build it, you have enough, like him, he had the fucking, like a train set and shit.
Right.
Good fun, good times. Our producer, Jeremy, thanks for everything. Thanks for setting us up here in SkidRowStudios.com. Thanks to the audience. We've got 15 minutes to go. And there's landing footage that was like 4 frames a second,
mm-hmm.
but somebody interpolated it. 24 frames a second, and it's up, and it feels like you're at the end of a parachute dangling. It's real time. It's really cool. So it's the landing footage interpolated up to 24 frames a second. Did you see the 360 panoramic view?
Yeah, I looked at it. I didn't. I don't think I saw the right one. Mm-hmm.
There's one you can jump in and like play with the app. So the landing footage of the Mars rover, they also did that. Just a fan, not even NASA. How about the guy with the shaved head, the mohawk of the star in the side?
Okay.
The NASA guy?
Do you know why he had that?
No.
It was a bet. They bet him. They bet him because he had this thing where for every mission, he had a new hairstyle. And so what they did was they set up a pool as to when the launch would be. And if the launch was on whatever date the launch ended up being on, that was the day, you know, for that assigned haircut. And then he had to do it. And so once they finally set the launch date, because you know that shit gets moved, whatever, 2-3 dozen times, I'm sure. But like the night before, he had to do it. And so that's why he has the mohawk. Yeah,
he was a meme. He was a meme instantly. People were getting that haircut and they were trying to contact him and like girls were sending like marriage proposals.
Oh yeah, no, he's like the sexy scientist guy now.
3D conversions, 3D fed fading. Yeah, 3D's done. Kind of. I don't know. I didn't even see a lot of the latest movies when they were offered in 3D. I saw a 2D print. I couldn't go to torture myself like that with my eyes.
Here's the thing. 3D, I don't think 3D is a fad. I think it comes in waves.
I never saw Hugo in 3D. I saw it on DVD and 2D, and I enjoyed Hugo. I can't imagine it could be that much greater, the 3D, although I hear he did great with it, mm-hmm. and it was one of the best examples.
I think it depends on the movie. You know, like I saw Avengers 3D, and I feel like with the scope of that movie, 3D served it well. I don't like the idea of making movies 3D just because you can or just because whatever. Like, no, let's use 3D the way we use lighting, the way we use music, the way we use the tools of movie making.
You think you're talking like people were with silent to sound or black and white to color or film to digital.
I'm sure it'll get to that point. And
would you shoot Sweet Melissa on 3D?
Would I shoot Sweet Melissa on 3D? No.
No. No. Not appropriate?
No.
How beautiful would Georgia look?
It would. It would look beautiful.
Okay.
But see, I think that right now it's almost too much technology right now. As in, what I mean by that is there is a ratio of how much can we do versus how much should we do. You know, there's this feeling of, well, we're able to do this now, so we should do it. Do we need to?
So I think you could do just black and white and mono sound and get the same story and effectiveness across in a film than doing 3D, this 70 millimeter, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I don't think... Because look at the degradation between what you see in the theater and what you see on YouTube. It's such a vast difference. You know, what you see in the theater versus even what you watch on Netflix.
It's 1080p. That's a 2K print. If you go across and then down, that's 2,000 pixels. And that's what they're broadcasting mostly in LA. There's only a few 4K theaters. And unless you go like see IMAX or something like that, I think it just caught up with home video cameras that are consumer or prosumer cameras.
Mm-hmm.
Like $500 to $5,000 will get you something that you actually, if you really know what you're doing, lighting and this and story and cutting and everything, it'll work.
Well, and I think that you're right in LA, but. We're not the only people here, man. Like, there are people in all kinds of different places in, you know, Minnesota, in Georgia, in China, in Pakistan. Like, yes, here it's kind of that way. But, you know, there's a lot of places. There's a lot of different ways that people watch content. And, you know, I don't know. I think.
What do you think of the original Jurassic Park being converted to 3D?
I'm not wild about it.
A lot of it was digital.
I don't have a problem with it, but I'm not wild about it. I think, you know, one of the things I liked about, I think it was the first of Nolan's Batman series, you know, just Batman Begins, was shot on IMAX. Like, they actually shot with IMAX cameras. And so when you went to watch it in IMAX, it was great. If you shoot 3D, you know, like they shot Avengers, Avengers IMAX 3D.
Pick an eye for the 2D print.
Right, right.
Is it no, left eye this scene. No, use the right eye. Back to left. The Life of Pi is getting the first Oscar buzz I've heard other than The Master.
Right.
But Life of Pi is... a story of the family leaving India, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And they also owned a zoo and they're on the boat and it fucking sinks. And it's disaster. And this kid, the movie, and it's 3D. They're shooting in 3D. Ang Lee is directing. And the kid winds up on a raft with a tiger. And the story is of him surviving 200 and something fucking days on a raft with a tiger.
At one point, did he eat the tiger?
There was gazelles and zebras and shit, and they go, they're in a bit of it, but no, we're just... He goes, they had a real tiger, and they had a digital tiger, and they were trying to, like, blend, and it's all in 3D. It looks beautiful. A lot of it was shot in indoor stage with the water, trying to make it look like you're out there on the ocean.
Right.
A lot of it was shot really out in the ocean. Mm-hmm. Kevin Costner gave advice to Battleship. Did you read that?
No.
Battleship, the movie, was going to shoot a lot on the real ocean. And so Kevin Costner openly wrote a letter and says, right. Listen, be careful. It takes three times as long as you think. Mm-hmm. Bring four of anything you think you need backup of. Mm-hmm. Anything that breaks, you think you need one of? No, you're going to need three more after that. And
because of Waterworld.
Because Waterworld. And he's like, it's everything is out there to get you. It's coming at you. The water is just devastated. And they were grateful to his advice. They said, we totally listened. We were absolutely prepared, had everything on hand. And don't rely on I hate to say it, but Jaws, even Waterworld, they all got fucked by the locals when the shit hit the fan. And the locals weren't used to 16-hour days while the star is out there, you know, and they're trying to touch up his hairpiece. Right. They're like, hairpiece. Hairpiece? Okay, imagine Anwar Sadat saying either hairpiece or herpes. Herpes. Yeah, hairpiece. I am on my head, I have hairpiece, but on my lip, I have hairpiece. Life of Pi, the master, Joaquin Phoenix, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Oda Clef of Scientology, and L. Ron Hubbard.
Mm-hmm.
Thinly veiled, because they're saying, what's the difference between your cult leader, religion starter, nuclear physicist, and our nuclear physicist, man, that has great religion? We take that back. They have made this film that obviously wants people to think it's about Scientology and L. Ron Hubbard. So when they are I'm sure they're very careful because the church is protective of their image, their brand, just like the Catholic Church. Any mosque or any temple you're going to go to, okay? Like Pussy Riot in Russia that went in to a fucking Islamic mosque, and in the middle of their ceremony, of their religious fucking shit, they're all kneeling down and facing where they're supposed to face, and just like Catholic, they're like, sit, kneel down, stand up, right. No, sit now, no, stay, splash some water here. These three, four girls got up and they did a protest. It was like 2 minutes long, 4 minutes long. And they did a song and, you know, if their music's horrible, they're like, oh my God, it's a disaster. Like the mix is all off. It looks like the drums is in a back room. It's like just terrible. Their music's terrible. It's just no. But the message, it's about the message and the activism. If you step into a church in this country in the middle of service, in Atlanta, let's say, and fucking pulled some shit like that, you'd do more than just some years in prison. And they got fined. They got like a year in prison or 2 years in prison.
Yeah.
And then out on parole or this, and one of them escaped and ran and fleed the country.
You might get charged with something like disorderly conduct. You might, you know,
like Westboro Baptist Church. When they disturb a funeral and say blah, 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 that's a charge. That's an absolutely acceptable charge, is disturbing the peace and whatever you could charge them for being totally antisocial.
Right.
Don't do that. Dude, Hollywood Boulevard is one big old freak old antisocial show. Come, if you've ever wanted to come to Los Angeles and be an actor, God. A musician, a dancer, whatever you play, sing, do, touch, feel, or want to shoot or film and sell for cash, come on out. Gangster Squad reshot the theater scene.
We were talking about this today.
They, in Chinatown about 2-3 weeks ago, they got film permits, and you can see this online. You can actually see all the approved films in LA and TV shows and where they shoot and when they shot. And they reshot that sequence so that it was now a night exterior in Chinatown with car chase, gunshots, and night explosions. I love naphthalene at night. It looks beautiful. That orange, so the good cover. Many people die from this and that and car accidents and rape and gunshots that are in many movies. There's violence in all movies.
Mm-hmm.
Every movie that somebody gets shot, there's so many more people than just the 13 people. I totally honor I can't believe the people that died in Aurora, Colorado. When's too soon? When's too far? When can someone show violence or a gunshot in a movie? God Bless America, the Bobcat Goldthwait movie.
Right.
The week after the shooting and the whole brouhaha, Gangster Squad pulls it. They pull the trailer. It was attached to Dark Knight. Netflix releases God Bless America on Netflix instant streaming. And there's a movie theater shooting. They're talking on their cell phone and talking in the theater. And he gets in texting and gets up and shoots him.
I can understand.
Such a duplicity in this. And one's independent, one's big money, one's corp. I totally understand.
And I think part of it, though, like there's a difference between what's in bad taste and
They allowed the one that's on bad taste and pushed that right on their Netflix.
Yeah.
But the other one that was part of a whole other story in the past that there may even be historical. And it was what was great was in the not great, but in the Gangster Squad, it was them behind the movie screen shooting through it into the audience.
Right.
As a symbology also of the movie theater and the screen and the power of movies to attack and assault our senses and our. Right. I mean, all that symbology is different. Like The Shining. So how many axe murders were there this year?
Right.
And should movies not have axe murders because people were killed with axes?
Yeah.
I know it was high profile and I don't want to like say that you shouldn't do that. But when is okay and when's too soon?
Well, I think that just depends on...
Until a law's passed. Get off my lawn.
No, I think it depends on the individual. You know what? If it's too soon, don't go see the movie. You know?
Don't turn the dial.
Yeah.
Click it off.
Don't
change the station.
Yeah.
Don't buy that paper.
And you know what?
You could get the Sacramento Bee or the LA Times.
You know what? If the preview comes on in the movie theater, just step outside for a minute, come back in.
Those are for R movies or PG-13. The trailer's supposed to be appropriate for that age group.
Yeah.
So they're saying that at 13, you can understand that you're watching this thing and connecting it to this.
Here's my problem.
They pulled it, though. I got to give it to Gangster Squad. They acted quick. They're like, absolutely. We don't,
want
bad PR. And they changed the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And probably is a kick-ass sequence, too. So,
on the DVD trailer, specials, I didn't realize they changed the movie.
Here's a big one. On the DVD specials, did they show the original footage? Or Blu-ray or whatever. No, you don't. It's buried. It's gone. Bury it in a bog of peat and forget it.
I have such a problem with that because it goes back to this idea it's blaming the movies for behavior.
Is Hollywood obsessed with guns and violence or is it working on better messages?
I think that's, first of all, Hollywood is not one entity. Let's be really honest with ourselves. I've lived in Los Angeles for almost 6 years now, and I've never met two people who agree with each other. So let's stop thinking about Hollywood as if it's one giant unit that makes a decision together.
It's this guy's soul. He takes care of all the decisions. And as a matter of fact, we're thinking the call sheet's got to shut its ass down. That's right. That guy Gabe and Keith, he's a heap? Oh, he's a Catholic? And he's a Mick too? Oh, fucking shut him down. Listen, thank you everybody for listening tonight. I'm Keith Coogan.
Gabe Romero.
Thank you for tuning in. We're replayed every morning at 9 a.m. as well. Enjoy it. Join us next week, Saturday night, 8 o'clock. Have a good night. Everybody enjoy themselves. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Out. Listen to Chickster's Net.